Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM Buffalo. WDCX AM Rochester and WDCX HD1 Rochester.
Welcome to Neil Boron Live. Real talk that gets to the heart of the matter and music that inspires. NBL is the place for information, motivation, and encouragement. So drop the mask, pick up the phone, and get ready to join the conversation at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And now, here's Neil Boron live.
Well, thanks for joining us here as we start a brand new week together on NBL. And thank God that His mercy is new every single morning and that the sun came up today and that we've got breath in our lungs, because there's so much more to life than just the Buffalo Bills, right? I mean, it was fun to see him in the AFC Championship game, but somebody asked me today what I thought about the game, and here's my take on that. You know the 12-year-old kid who's been doing push-ups and pull-ups and he thinks he's got some muscles, so he wants to wrestle his 16-year-old brother? And it kind of starts out fun, and the brother's just kind of toying with him, but eventually he ends up poking his 16-year-old brother in the eye accidentally, and then it gets serious, and his 16-year-old brother just kind of takes him down to show him who's boss. Well, that was what happened to the Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. It was not pretty, but it was fun, you know, to know that we made it that far. How about that? And it's time to move along. There's always next year. Yeah, I mean, amazing that the Bills went so far, but just not ready for prime time yet. I guess that's the best way to say it. Anyhow, glad to have you along, and we're going to talk about something kind of similar. I mean, as the Bills need to move on, I think the body of Christ needs to move on from all of this election talk and everything else. And I want to talk about it for the sake of moving on. Now, that might sound counterintuitive, or like we're defeating our own purpose there, but I think there's reason to look back and to say, what can we learn from what just transpired over the last, year of the election and then the post-election chaos and even the storming of the Capitol and all that? What is God saying to the church in all of this? And really looking back to the 4 years of the Trump presidency, 5 years since, he had first announced he was going to run, but way beyond that, over the last 40 years, what has been God saying to the church? Over the last 100 years, and I'm actually going to touch on some of that in our conversation, because I want to know if God has ever changed his plan and purpose for us as believers. If in anything, God has ever said, hey, look, I know I told you to make disciples, but for right now, for this season, I really want you to kind of put that on hold, and I really want you to focus on conservative politics. I really want you to dive deep and watch Fox News and, listen to commentators and podcasts and everything else. Just immerse yourself in that right now. Has God ever said that kind of thing? Well, I don't think so either. And so I want to talk about that for a bit today without focusing too much on the personalities or the actual, issues. Really more the general focus of what we're called to be as believers, because I do believe that God is still speaking to his church. But what's he saying? And is it any different from what he was saying previously? So that's where we're headed today, and I thank you for being here. My name's Neil, by the way, and the guy on the other side of the glass is the Zach man. Last Friday, we asked you to, tell us the score of the game, who was going to win and all that stuff. Let's just say nobody got it right because everybody picked the Bills to win, so no prize to give away there, but grateful that you were willing to participate with us. Lord, bless our conversation. We live in a crazy world. There's so much to compete for our time, attention, and our interest. We want to give our hearts and our lives fully and completely to you and the calling you've placed on our lives. Help us to never lose sight of what you're saying to us in the midst of the mayhem. Lord, between social media and the mainstream media and everything that's going on in the world, all of the circumstances, coronavirus and its effects on our families, whether it's physical, financial, emotional, or otherwise, God, you are speaking to your church, and we want to hear clearly what you're saying to us. So come and be with us. Minister to us, speak to us, we pray, and transform us by your presence. Lord, we want to be different from the time that we spend hearing from you today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We'll be back with NBL in just a moment. Today's program brought to you by Christian mortgage broker Rodney Shunker. If you're in the GTA and in need of a first or second mortgage, call Rodney Shunker. Get on out of here. Get on up.
One click of a button is all it takes to switch between WDCX and our commercial-free all-music WDCX HD2 station. When you use the WDCX app on your smartphone, download the WDCX app today at the App Store and Google Play.
We the Kingdom on NBL, kicking off a Monday edition of the broadcast here. Thanks again for tuning in. And as I said, that's Zach over there. My name's Neil. Welcome to the conversation. I have no idea even where to begin today. So, Lord, again, give us clarity, give us direction. Help us to hear from you. We want to know you more and be transformed by your presence as a result of today's conversation. Lord, we don't want to provide entertainment to just take up time in our lives. We don't want to just fill airspace. We want you to be glorified. So come and transform us, Lord. Speak through our conversation today. Help us to focus on the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm saying I don't know where to begin, largely because there's so many different aspects to the conversation I'm hoping to have today. Largely maybe precipitated by, Trump prophecies, the idea that Donald Trump would be reelected as president. And yet, I can tell you honestly, that's not really what I want the focus of this conversation to be. I really want it to be on what God called us to truly be in his kingdom, you know, that we would be his servants carrying out his plan and purpose for each of our lives. If you want to comment on, you know, the so-called Trump prophecies, feel free to do that. We've got a question up on our Facebook page. It simply says there were a lot of Trump prophecies circulating throughout the church that were declaring Donald Trump would be reelected. With President Joe Biden winning the 2020 election, how does the church respond to these prophecies that were given? Another way to say that maybe is, where do we go from here? First of all, do we address the fact that the prophecies were wrong, or do we try to pretend maybe or hope that they're still going to be right? Or do we move on with what God's called us to be? Now, I would definitely choose the latter for myself. I think way too much time and attention has been given to Donald Trump or things related to Donald Trump, and it has nothing to do with whether or not I think God used him for the time where he served in office. And who knows? He may be running again and, you know, elected president again at some point in the future. I'm not sure. I'm not a prophet. I don't know for sure what all of that has to do with the future. I'm not sure. But I do know this, that God's plan and purpose for our lives has never changed. And, you know, his calling on our lives is sure, like that we are to make disciples and bring light into darkness and preach the gospel to the nations. None of that changed. The news changes every single day, every single day. There's stuff that goes on in the news, and I wonder if we could just, can we just have an honest conversation for a second? Let's just be honest. Our focus as believers in the 21st century, is it really more about God's plan and purpose for us, or is it about other stuff, like what's going on in the world? For instance, this crossed my mind. You know, when the Stop the Steal rally happened on January 6th in Washington, it was President Trump calling people to Washington for a great march and a great rally. And he's been accused, and in fact, this is the nature of his, impeachment. Second impeachment is that he stirred up people to go riot and, you know, break into the Capitol building. I personally don't believe that he directly said that. As a matter of fact, he said we're here to peacefully protest and stuff. He did use words like, we don't want to stop the fight. We can't ever stop the fight. Rudy Giuliani talked about trial by combat. And there were some tough words thrown around very Trump-like words. He's used that kind of language in the past. But did he directly tell people to go and break into the Capitol building and do what they did? Did he want five or six people to die? No, I don't believe that happened. But I do think that over the 4 years, the language that he used, especially during the last few months, the focus on not only the fake media, that was 4 years of conversation about fake media, but the false results, the voter fraud, there's so much evidence, which apparently never convinced any of the courts where the evidence was presented. Sidney Powell was going to come out with the information about the voting machines, and it was just going to be so clear to everybody that this election was stolen. Do I think there was, what's the word I'm looking for? That there was inappropriate behavior in the election? Yeah, I do. I think that in every election there is. I think there might have even been much more in this one. I don't know. I would venture a guess you don't know either exactly how much was going on behind the scenes, what kind of shenanigans. But here's the thing. There are all kinds of people whose total focus right now is that the election was stolen and that God is going to make it right and that, essentially his will isn't going to be accomplished until that happens. And that's the very point at which I want to have our conversation today. Because who knows? Maybe some incredible information is going to come out and overturn the whole thing, and they're going to say, wow, can you imagine this? Nancy Pelosi saying, wow, you're right. We didn't realize that all that stuff was going on. You're totally right. Yeah, it was totally stolen. Oops, our bad. Joe Biden's going to step aside. Donald Trump's going to return to office. Well, if you think that's going to happen, then you believe in fairy tales, because that ultimately is not how anything is going to go down. Whether Donald Trump gets reelected at some future time or whether all of this comes out in the wash and there's some huge revelation about, a voter fraud thing that was happening that has now been verified and you got all kinds of people agreeing, even people, that are opponents of Donald Trump agreeing that this is correct and this voter fraud happened. In the meantime, it's all speculation. That's all it is. And it's all it's ever been right now is speculation. However, there were a number of people in the body of Christ, self-proclaimed prophets, who said Donald Trump would be elected, and some specifically said to a second consecutive term. So this throws a monkey wrench into the conversation for this reason, because there's people watching who are not believers, many people, millions of people watching who are not believers, a lot of young people, including our own children, kids growing up in in Christian schools and in Sunday school and youth group, who are listening to their parents talk about this stuff, listening to the conversations about all of this, and then wondering what to make of it. Now, let me just say, in fairness, so you understand where I'm coming from, because I believe that God is at work in the world today, that he has things to say through people, that he speaks to hearts, and he speaks to individuals to do incredible things for him. And some of that is of God. I think sometimes I've met people who are convinced they've heard from God. And I think, as was proven over time, the things they were talking about did not come to pass. And they truly were not hearing from God. They were acting in the flesh in some fashion. We've all had encounters with that kind of thing. But it comes back to this question, what exactly was God saying or not about this election? I'm not here to beat up anybody who's a self-proclaimed prophet. I think, and I said this on a previous show, we already had the conversation. We already did a program on false prophecy. But I do want to say that I think that there is a role for prophets in the church as much as there's a role for evangelists and pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4 tells us about that. He gave some as apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That it's the role of these people who've been given a special office in God's kingdom to equip you and I to do the work of the ministry. This is ultimately what their role focuses on. And secondarily, prophecy in Scripture is used to point people to Jesus and to call God's people to repentance, largely. That's it. It's not about feel-good stuff like, oh, because you've been so good and because you support, my son Donald Trump and because you're pro-life, I'm going to reward you with four more years of the Trump presidency and You can count on this, thus saith the Lord. I don't see that being prophecy at all. I just don't. I think it's feel-good hogwash, bottom line. I'm not trying to be nasty. I think that what it creates is a distraction. And hear my heart here. I think it creates a massive distraction. And distracts us from what? From the thing that we're supposed to be doing. And so if we're being distracted by the very things, by these types of things, and it's distracting us from the very things we are ultimately called to do, then you got to believe that that's not God involved in that process. That's the enemy. That's the enemy using, quotes, I put it in quotes, spirituality against us. That somehow we're thinking we're being real spiritual, but we're somehow deluding ourselves and getting called away from the plan and purpose of God. Is there a role for prophecy in the church? I believe so. Now, I realize that's controversial for folks that are not coming from a charismatic perspective, but I do believe there's a place for prophecy in the church. But I also believe that as pastors and teachers are subject to authority, God's word primarily, but secondarily, accountability in the body of Christ, all of us are subject to accountability, and that these things need to be measured. They need to be looked at honestly. And if these were flawed prophecies, you know, about Donald Trump's reelection, now I realize some of you are still holding out hope that it is still going to happen, that these things will come to pass. And some of you are saying they will come to pass if we just have enough faith. Then go ahead and continue believing that. I don't stand in judgment against you. I'm just calling on God's people to employ a little wisdom and say, wait a minute, God, what's actually happening here? What is happening that so much time and attention and focus has been given to this kind of stuff as opposed to what you've actually called us to do? Now, hear my heart. Again, I'm fully saying this not in condemnation. I promise you I'm not saying it in condemnation. But the thought crossed my mind during the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th when there was, you know, whatever, a 500,000 people, maybe 1 million people in Washington, D.C. I don't know if a count ever was given on that. And then some of them, maybe a couple thousand, whatever, ended up inside the Capitol building. Do I think it was the vast majority of people? No, it wasn't. It was a small fraction. Did they have anything to do with the well-intentioned individuals who showed up to support patriotism? No, I don't think so. Was it all Antifa? Was it all somebody else's fault apart from Trump supporters? No, there were ardent Trump supporters inside the Capitol building. Some of the people who said they love patriotism, they love America, were right there in the Capitol building. And by the way, oddly enough, some of the people that were saying, you know, we're all about supporting the Constitution of the United States, we have to uphold the Constitution, were upset that Donald Trump, who had asked his Vice President Mike Pence to break from the Constitution and flip the election, something he's constitutionally not allowed to do. I mean, there may be disagreement on that issue, but the point is, the vast majority of constitutional experts, including Christians and Trump supporters who know about the Constitution, said there was no legal way for Mike Pence all by himself to flip the election and, by the way, put himself one breath away from the presidency. Okay, you know, so the Electoral College has voted and they've cast their votes. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to flip this election because I think there was fraud, although we haven't been able to prove it. Can't really provide any real information right now. Can't show you exactly what it is, but we're going to flip it, and Donald Trump's going to be the president. And by the way, if he has a heart attack in a few minutes, I'm the president. No, it was bizarre that many people who love the Constitution were hoping that Mike Pence would violate the Constitution and make Donald Trump president, which raises the question, why was that rally even held? And why was the president calling on Mike Pence to do what we know he can't do? And ultimately, Mike Pence got thrown under the bus. It was a tragic thing to see. Mike Pence is a wonderful brother in Christ. The whole thing got really ugly. President Trump said some things I really shouldn't repeat on air here. I have talked about them on the National Crawford Roundtable podcast, but just some really bad stuff was said about Mike Pence because he was unwilling to do what Donald Trump wanted him to do. Where does that leave us? That leaves us with a new president named Joe Biden, essentially, is where that leaves us. So, and how, by the way, how is it that so many conspiracy theories, all of which to this point have proven to be wrong, have not come to fruition, that the people who largely, And by the way, I'm a conservative, so you know. I mean, many conservatives, Republicans, whatever label you want to slap on yourselves. But that many people have attached themselves to these so-called conspiracy theories, all of which continue to prove to be wrong. You know, that martial law will be declared on January 6th. You probably saw that one. Then they changed it to January 9th. That was a subsequent one. That Jeffrey Epstein, you know, the convicted pedophile, was somehow going to come back and show up at Congress and before a joint session of Congress begin naming names of the 100 or so pedophiles that are in power in Congress. And what? Jeffrey Epstein, as far as I know, from reputable news sources, is dead. So there's a lot of stuff floating around. What does that do? It creates a massive distraction for the church. This is my point in all of this. And I got some things I want to share with you from an article Michael Brown wrote. In fact, maybe a couple articles that Dr. Michael Brown wrote, several of which appeared in the Christian Post. And I thought he made some really good points. So I want to bring them up as I continue to talk about this. Ultimately, where am I headed? I don't really want to focus on the details of Trump prophecies per se. What I want to say is, in light of these things, in light of the conspiracy theories that are floating around, what is God saying to the church in that? How are we supposed to act in a way that brings him glory? Well, keep that in the back of your mind. We'll get to some of this when NBL returns here on WDCX. So where we go from here, that's at the heart of what I want to talk about as we continue, and we'll look forward to hearing from you in just a little bit. I got a few more things I want to share, including from some of these articles. We'll get to it after this from Dr. Paul Musa. You're looking for quality dental care in the GTA? Well, it's no conspiracy theory or hoax. Dr. Paul Musa is an exceptional dentist, and you'll find him at Metro East Dental Center in the GTA.
Looking for a podcast with a biblical perspective on issues that shape our world? The National Crawford Roundtable with Bob Duco, John Rush, Roger Marsh, and Neil Boron is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. A podcast worth listening to, the National Crawford Roundtable.
All right, thanks again for being a part of NBL here on WDCX. So, what about this? What about this article from Dr. Michael Brown? In fact, I got a couple of them here from... He's an opinion columnist. He writes opinion pieces for the Christian Post. He's got a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University. He's also served as a professor, by the way, at a number of seminaries. He's the author of 25 books and hosts the nationally syndicated daily radio talk show called Line of Fire. We've tried to get him on the program, and Zach Mann's still trying to hunt him down. We're hoping to have him at some point in the future. But we have the privilege, at least, of being able to bounce off some of the ideas he laid out in some of these articles. One is called A Strong Appeal to Those Who Prophesied Trump's Re-election. January 20th is past, says Michael Brown, and Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, is president of the United States. To all those who prophesied that Trump would serve a second term and assured us that he would be inaugurated on the 20th, I appeal to you in the strongest possible terms, admit your error, take full responsibility, and do not, under any circumstances, continue to put a false hope into the hearts of God's people. What you prophesied did not come to pass, writes Michael Brown. And let me call time out for just a second to say that some of the people who put out prophecies about Trump in advance, they said that they'd been given a word from the Lord. Donald Trump would be elected to a second consecutive term, essentially, thus saith the Lord, have taken a variety of different approaches to the fact that it didn't happen. One is that it's still going to happen. I'm saying all this parenthetically. Oh, you just wait and see. It's going to happen. Okay. It's a possibility, I guess. Anything's possible in God's kingdom. I'm sure that there was a lot of people who didn't think it was going to rain when Noah was building a boat in the middle of the desert for 100 years. So skeptics abound. And God's word is true. It doesn't ever fail. False prophecies fail, but God's word never fails. Another one, one is that it's still going to happen. Number two, that it did happen. It's just that the deep state is so big and so powerful, they squelched this election win, and Donald Trump, at least in metaphorical terms, is serving a second presidency. I kid you not. And that, you know, all of this will be revealed in time, and he'll be restored to his rightful place, essentially, is another take on what happened. Number three, that this is the old, you know, you didn't have enough faith to believe thing, that it's the body of Christ's fault. Yeah, God spoke and it was going to come to pass, but then people like me, apparently, who's calling into question some of these prophecies, didn't have enough faith to believe. And I personally just classify, they say it lovingly, but I classify that as spiritual abuse. Number four, there's the caveat, well, okay, maybe we got the date wrong. Maybe he is going to serve a second term. It's just not going to be consecutive. He'll be reelected in 2024, which is what Harold Camping said when he said the world was going to end in October of, was it 2008 or 1994? I'm going to have to look that one up. Harold Camping was an evangelist and whatever, and he was sure that the world was going to end. So then I had him on my program, and I asked him, it didn't. First of all, I had him on beforehand. He was convinced it would happen. And then I said, Mr. Camping, you were wrong. If you're wrong, would you come back on the program? He did. To his credit, he came back, and he talked to us again. And I just said, have you learned anything by this? In other words, would you do it again? And he said, of course I would. I would just calculate more accurately. So there's others that say that the prophecy was correct. They just didn't hear it exactly right. In other words, it really was God's fault for not communicating clearly enough, and that what they said was somehow skewed, but it was really just that it was being misinterpreted or that the details were fuzzy. But it will all come out in the wash, essentially absolving themselves of a false prophecy. So what Michael Brown is saying here is what you prophesied did not come to pass. His article continues by saying there's not an alternative spiritual reality in which Trump is still functioning as president. Nothing is going to change in a month or a year. Michael Brown says it's over. Even if there was a massive electoral fraud, the results of this election will not be overturned. Donald Trump will not serve a second consecutive term. Face the facts, Michael Brown says. Be accountable before God and man. Take the hits that will be coming and humble yourself before the Lord and his people. This is not the time for excuses. This is not the time to concoct spiritual myths. And this is absolutely not the time to blame others. If you prophesied falsely, you and you alone are to blame. Maybe you did not intend to mislead. Maybe you were acting on sincerity and integrity, truly believing the Lord had spoken, and doing your best to stand firm in the faith no matter what. After all, you thought to yourself, isn't that what faith does? Maybe you were so grieved over where the radical left was going that you prophesied what you desired, namely the reelection of Donald Trump. Maybe you sensed God's intent, namely that if Trump would repent of his pride and the church would repent of looking to him in an idolatrous way, God would give him four more years. Michael Brown in the Christian Post went on to say, maybe you got caught up in the power of the group, finding affirmation and others saying the very same things. Maybe you prophesied what your people wanted to hear. Let me insert itching ears. Come back to the article. It says, you know, maybe you prophesied what your people wanted to hear, subconsciously tickling their itching ears. Maybe you got caught up in a partisan political spirit. Maybe you looked to Trump as a political messiah, and God answered you out of the idolatry of your own heart. Wow, this is Michael Brown. Let me repeat that one. Maybe you looked to Donald Trump as a political messiah, and God answered you out of the idolatry of your own heart. Or maybe you fell prey to demonic deception. Whatever the cause, you prophesied falsely, and now you need to own it. The last thing you should do is feel sorry for yourself and claim that you're being persecuted. Quite the contrary. The reality is that you've misled many, and as a result of your false prophecies, many believers are experiencing a crisis of faith right now. Who will be there to pick up the pieces? After all, they wonder, how could all the prophets be wrong? To the extent that you urged your hearers to hold on to the very end, to that extent, you are responsible for bringing them to this point of crisis. Worse still, some of you issued prophetic threats to those who questioned your words, telling them that they had to believe the prophets or else. And you did this while claiming to speak directly for God. The Lord does not take it lightly when his people are abused like this. He will hold you responsible for misrepresenting him. So many of God's people are hurting, and the world is mocking us, thinking that our faith in Jesus is just as false as these failed Trump prophecies. One man, Dr. Michael Brown writes, posted online that he'd been telling his family, none of whom were believers, that Trump would be reelected based on the words of the prophets. He thought it would glorify the Lord when Trump was miraculously inaugurated. Now, he said, he doesn't think he can ever talk to them again about the Lord. Do we realize the damage that's been done? One woman who falsely claims to be a prophet said that God had been making a list, noting who's listening to the prophets and who isn't. Those who aren't, she warns, claim to speak for the Lord, and that they will lose their voice and their ministries. If God is making a list, it's a list of those who mislead his sheep, Michael Brown says, a list of those who threatened his children if they failed to, quote, believe the prophets, a list of those who brought dishonor to the name of his son. According to Michael Brown, he says, now is the time to repent, openly, publicly, and forthrightly. Now is the time to find accountability from other leaders in the body who didn't fall into the same error. Now's the time for some serious soul searching. It's what the Bible calls bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And this is no small thing. If you continue to prophesy falsehoods and assure your followers that Biden will soon be replaced by Trump, and he isn't saying 2024, he says that parenthetically, I don't mean 2024. Michael Brown goes on to say, I warn you that you're moving into complete spiritual fantasy and leading others with you. Be careful. The reality is that I'm writing all this as a charismatic leader rather than a charismatic basher, as a proponent of prophetic ministry rather than as an opponent. I'm writing as a friend, not an enemy. In fact, it's a holy jealousy that drives me. Jealousy for the honor of Jesus' name, jealousy for the health of his flock, and jealousy for the purity of prophetic ministry. I also write out of a holy jealousy for your own ministry and calling. All of us can make mistakes, Michael Brown says, even serious ones like this. Our God is a God of forgiveness and redemption. It's the central message of our faith. You can come out of this closer to Jesus, deeper in the Word, godlier in character, and more in tune with the Spirit. And to the depth of your humility, to that degree, the Lord will restore and rebuild. But please, I appeal to you again, he writes, don't blame others, don't make excuses, and don't perpetuate any further spiritual fantasy. It's over. Now what are you going to do? Wow. Amazing. Dr. Michael Brown laying it on the line regarding false Trump prophecies. Now, I realize some of you have heard these prophecies. You are perhaps even some of you still holding out hope that some of this will come to pass. My question today isn't really so much about the prophecies, although I did want to say, as I said earlier, he gave some as apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, evangelists. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ would be built up. There is a role for prophetic voices in God's kingdom, but they're subject to authority. They're subject to God's word. They're subject to the accountability of other saints. And the idea of, I have spoken, thus saith the Lord, and if you don't believe me or it doesn't come true, it's all your fault, and you know you don't have enough faith to believe. I'm correct. You're wrong. You're not listening to God the way I'm listening to God. It's nonsense. That's not Christianity. That is not what we've been called to. And I would say again, it leads us to tremendous distraction. We're distracted from the things God actually called us to do, and that in itself represents a sense of apostasy for the church. You know, that the idea that we would get drawn away into watching Fox News 24/7 and supporting Donald Trump as though he's the only savior of the world. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have voted for him. That's between you and God. You have to decide these kind of things, but I'm talking about perspective. Sure, we have conservatives listening, we have liberals listening, we have all kinds of people represented. We have black and white, rich and poor, old and young, male and female. We've got all kinds of perspectives. We have new believers, non-believers. We've got everybody represented in this listening audience. And God's got a plan and purpose for each of us. But I guarantee it does not revolve around being distracted by false hope in people who really can't save. Donald Trump is not our savior. He's never been our savior. And I've said this since the beginning. So let's be careful, because any one of us putting too much hope in a political system or an ideology or a person will be severely misled. Only Jesus saves. And I'm not talking about eternal salvation alone. I'm talking about only Jesus can keep us on the path that God has laid out for us. Will there be disagreement? Sure. That's where we fit in the body of Christ, the idea that we are to sharpen one another, challenge one another about the things of God, and make sure that we're staying on track. Let's not lose sight of the reality that we've been called to walk together. It says in Ephesians 5:10, walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. I think there's a process implied in that statement. Walk as children of the light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. God bless the Apostle Paul. He gets it. You know, the idea that we're in process and the rough edges are being knocked off of us, so one day we're going to look like Jesus. But that's the point. If the prophets, these so-called prophets, you know, prophesied incorrectly, just own it. God's big enough. Own it. Just say you're sorry and say you were wrong and let God bring loving correction to your life as he brings loving correction to all of our lives when we're totally wrong. He's big enough to handle that. And in the process, we grow and we learn and we become more committed to the things God actually called us to do, not to our wild fantasies and speculations about what we hope happens. We can be clinging directly to the things God said need to come to pass and will happen directly from his word, because his word never changes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never change. Michael Brown's written, he writes continually for the Christian Post. He's got another article I want to comment on here quickly, and then we'll maybe get to some of your phone calls. This one's called The Power of Faith versus the Danger of Delusion, and we'll get to that in just a moment as NBL continues on WDCX. So hear my heart here. It's really not about what has happened in all of this. It's about what God's saying right here and right now for each of us. There's more to come on NBL. We'll get to it after this from Teresa and Christine at Vine and Williams.
NBL is not only Neil Boron Live. NBL is where you belong.
All right, we're back at it here on WDCX. Thanks for tuning in. So here's, this is from one alleged, so-called, anyway, maybe not alleged, so-called Christian prophet said on December 5th, I declare Donald J. Trump won the election by a landslide. Number two, I declare that every person involved with voter fraud will be brought to swift justice. I declare that justice is being released from the courtroom of heaven to America. Number four, I declare that the witnessing of the wicked being brought to justice, that in the witnessing of the wicked being brought to justice, that many will repent and turn to Jesus and be saved. I declare that upon the witnessing of God's supernatural signs and wonders, that many will repent, turn to Jesus and be saved. This list goes on. Let me just ask, isn't it possible that in the midst of the fact that Donald Trump wasn't elected, that demonstrating that our hope was never in Donald Trump, but in Jesus Christ alone, that God might use that to bring people to faith in Christ? Jesus said, you know, be assured of this. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. God doesn't promise us peace and prosperity. He promises that he's going to be with us in the midst of pain and suffering. It's going to be hard, he said. Will there be some peace and some prosperity? Well, I know that my heart is experiencing much greater peace today than in the days before I knew Jesus. I can tell you that. But there have been some very difficult roads to walk as a believer. Thank God Jesus has been with me every step of the way. Here's another statement from a prophetic website. Some are asking if I still believe President Trump will win. Here's the answer. Yes, yes, yes. I believe this because God said the president isn't finished with his assignment in our government, and I've received prophecies for what the next 4 years of his administration will look like. Apparently, these are being held in check for a while. This prophet went on to say, I will release these in the new year after these battles are won. Remember, we must partner with the Lord's plans when we hear a true prophecy. The enemy has hijacked the airwaves with his false reports and his evil agenda. So we need to counteract the lies and keep praying, declaring, fasting, and decreeing what the prophets say. Well, that's interesting. Maybe we should pray, declare, and fast what God has said. But in any case, the more of you who agree and stand for truth in our nation, the more power will come and the more momentum. But yes, yes, and yes, Donald Trump will serve, continue in government because God said his administration isn't over. Well, that's not what transpired. That one was written around December 30th. So I got another article. I'm not going to read from it, but it's called Polish Psychic and Polarizing Televangelist Among Seven Who Predicted a Trump Victory in 2020. And it's an interesting article. I don't know why the Polish psychic fits into that, but apparently there was a Polish psychic that thought God would be reelected. So here's this other article from Dr. Michael Brown, and I hope I don't belabor this too much because I feel like we're running out of time. It's called The Power of Faith Versus the Danger of Delusion. I'm sharing this with you as food for thought for future conversations. We're going to be talking about things like this for years to come, Lord willing. And again, I stand before you as a flawed human being, deeply in need of God's continued grace and mercy in my life so that he can transform me into the image of Christ. Because the work he started on June 25th of 1974 has not been completed. So I'm not here casting stones, but as a gatekeeper of conversation here on NBL, I want to make sure that we're focused on the right things and that we continue to be. And I believe the right thing is Jesus, not foolish speculation or false prophecies or anything else. Fox News is not our hope. Donald Trump is not our hope in conservative Christian circles. Jesus is and always has been and remains our hope. And not just for a comfortable life, not just hope for a comfortable life, but our hope in the midst of difficulty, which surely will come. Because as a believer, we will endure persecution. We will endure trials. That's what God's word says. So going back to, before I read this article, I think I forgot to say this part. Picture that crowd of 500,000 people, however many showed up, I'm not sure, for the Stop the Steal rally in Washington. And then later, people were breaking into the Capitol building. Of that group, how many were believers? I don't know. Probably doesn't even really matter, but let's just say that half were, okay? So 250,000, I'm throwing that out as a rough number. Of the 250,000, how many got up that morning and prayed for Nancy Pelosi's salvation, prayed for Chuck Schumer to come to faith in Christ, prayed for Donald Trump to come to faith in Christ if he doesn't know? Some people claim he's a Christian. I know that he was quoted as saying he's never had to confess sin, but if he was ever wrong, he would try to do better. Some believe that he is a believer. You know, I'm going to get emails about this because some are convinced Donald Trump is a believer. Others are convinced he truly isn't. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know. He doesn't openly confess Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He doesn't talk about his story of repentance and coming to faith in Christ. If he did, I'd have a different sense about this. But anyway, I can't judge his heart. He may be a baby Christian or a closet Christian. I don't know. Mike Pence is an outspoken believer in Jesus. There's no question. Vice President Pence says that he knows the Lord, that he's had a conversion experience. He came to faith in Christ, put his faith and trust in him. But, you know, how many people that morning out of, say, 250,000, if that was even a legitimate number, there certainly was 250,000 people, way more than that, millions of Christians across the country. Were we just hoping that, you know, Mike Pence would flip the results of the Electoral College vote and put Donald Trump back in? Or were we hoping that lost people would come to Jesus? Did we take time that morning to pray for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and people that we would consider to be our political opponents? And the reason I ask the question is because our enemy is not a person. It's never been a person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the world forces of darkness. You know, that's who we're up against. I can tell you what God's plan and purpose is for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, that they'd come to faith in Christ, that Lindsey Graham and, you know, all of the conservative Republicans in the House and the Senate, everybody in Donald Trump's administration doesn't know Jesus, that they would come to faith in Christ. That's why Jesus died, so that they could come to faith in Christ. So I'm just asking you to be honest in your heart. Do you think that more emphasis was put on praying for God to move on the hearts of people and to bring people to faith in Christ during the whole Stop the Steal thing? Or was it on the hope that the election would no longer be, quote, stolen and would be overturned? What was the focus during that time? Okay, I thought so. So that's why we're doing this conversation today, because I'm saying that I think we've lost our focus. And by losing our focus, we become part of the deception that the enemy wants us to fall prey to, that something or someone other than Jesus is where we find hope. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be involved in the political process, but think about this. God's the author of three human institutions, the family, the church, and the state, meaning civil government. Where's our focus been over the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years, maybe the last 30 years since the founding of the Moral Majority? It's been on civil government. But we still have the ability to completely influence what happens in families for Christ, how the church conducts itself. We've got total control over that in a place where we still enjoy religious freedom. Sure, it may be impinged upon to some degree, but the fact is we've got the ability to make a difference in families and in the church. Then why is all of our focus, going to the things of civil government, as if that's where our hope is found? So I don't know where people stand, you know, on their relationship with Christ, but ultimately being the salt and light of the earth in a way that we would lead people to the saving knowledge of Christ and lead them to a place where they can begin to experience God personally, that ought to be our desire. And I just had a friend send me a message here. Chuck Schumer is Jewish. Great. So was Jesus. And so was the Apostle Paul. He was the Jew of all Jews. And what did Paul need? Paul needed Jesus. And Jesus transformed Saul into Paul. Incredible thing. So this article is called The Power of Faith Versus the Danger of Delusion. Power of Faith Versus the Danger of Delusion. I'm going to take a break here and come back and get to it. I got long-winded. I'm sorry. I know I'm doing almost all the talking today. I hope we're going to have time to take a few phone calls. We'll be back with more of NBL in just a bit. Hang with me. Another article I've got to highlight. I at least want to share it with you. It's from Michael Brown. He's an opinion columnist for the Christian Post. More to come after this from Turkster Builders. All right, let's get back to it here on NBL. Crowder there in the background. You're right, David Crowder. Every day we are blessed. So let me just say this. Chris Vallotton, some of you know that name. He's senior associate leader of Bethel Church, co-founder of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, predicted a second term for Trump back in December of 2019. In a message that he gave, he predicted that the impeachment that was going on back then, the first impeachment, was going to fail, that Trump would be removed, would not be removed from office. He said, I believe the Lord's going to step into the impeachment process. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be over because the Lord is making a decree, he stated. And I believe the Lord's going to give him, meaning Donald Trump, another term. I believe it because the Lord wants it. Then in November, he apologized for being completely wrong, but then backtracked, saying he's going to wait until the official vote count is complete. To his credit, and I say this to his credit, following the confirmation of Joe Biden last Wednesday, following the confirmation of Biden because of the Electoral College win, he reposted his video on January 8th, which would have been 12 days before the inauguration, saying I was wrong. He said, say whatever you want about me or my opinions, but God spoke to me very clearly and told me that I was to humble myself. When I asked the Lord what to do about the word I had previously given, I immediately felt like I should apologize. I know what it's like to contend for a word to come to pass. I've done it all my life and taught others to do the same. But I also know that there are times to admit you're wrong. Praise God. God is big enough to handle that. That's exactly what we need in the body of Christ, people to be honest about our need for Jesus. There's no reason to fear truth because Jesus is the truth, and he always has been. Jeremiah Johnson, some of you know that name, of Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, he predicted a Trump victory, later apologized for the false prophecy in a statement that he released just last week. He said, I'd like to repent for inaccurately prophesying that Donald Trump would win a second term as president of the United States. I refuse to blame the saints and say it didn't come to pass because they didn't pray enough, nor will I proclaim Donald Trump actually won, so I was right, but now it's been stolen from him. No, I believe the first statement seeks to alleviate the prophetic messenger from the responsibility of what he prophesied, and the second statement is filled with potential pride and an unwillingness to humble himself and admit he was wrong. So he admitted he was wrong, and praise God for that. Shouldn't that be enough that we could then, I mean, because I said, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all of them should be subject to God's word and to the accountability of other saints in Christ, and so let's learn, grow, and move on. I'm troubled, though, about the ongoing prophecies that say, oh, no, wait, something big's going to happen, something really, really big, and you're not even going to believe it. It's going to be so monstrous. Well, maybe it will. But here's the thing. If our focus is that, then our focus isn't Jesus. If our focus is some incredible turnaround then we're hoping in the turnaround to save us, not focused on the things God would have us do right now. So here's the other article, The Power of Faith Versus the Danger of Delusion. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about false Trump prophecies today, but really that's not my focus. My focus is what it's supposed to be. Lord willing, I say that humbly, Lord willing, it's to be on what we're supposed to be doing rather than focusing on these things. So let me just read from the article quickly. We'll be done. It says, Michael Brown says, there's nothing more powerful than faith in God. Faith can move mountains because it trusts in a mountain-moving God. Faith can change the destiny of whole nations because it believes in the one who created the nations. That's why the entire Bible puts such a strong emphasis on faith from beginning to end. But faith is not fantasy. Faith is not simply affirming the figments of our own imagination. Faith is anything but delusional. Instead, Dr. Michael Brown writes, true faith is a firm trust in ultimate and absolute truth, even when all evidence is against it. In the famous words of Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's why faith is not moved by circumstances or feelings. That's why faith rejoices before the answer comes. That's why faith is sure even when there's reason to doubt. As the old and seemingly trite saying goes, God promised it, I believe it, and that settles it. But what if we're believing something that's not true? What if we're convinced that God has spoken when he has not? What then, Michael Brown asks? Well, right now, there are millions of Christians in America, including quite a few prominent leaders, who remain certain that Donald Trump will be inaugurated for a second term on January 20th. By the way, this was written on January 9th. Of course, he wasn't inaugurated. Joe Biden was. He says it doesn't matter to them that the courts have rejected almost every single case of alleged fraud brought by the Trump team. It doesn't matter that there's no political path for his reelection. They're convinced that God has spoken and that will not be moved. Let me say parenthetically, I've gotten emails and articles from people saying that the reason that the courts wouldn't pay attention is because the courts were corrupt. Well, even the Supreme Court didn't want to touch this whole thing with a 10-foot pole, and the Supreme Court has three Trump appointees on it and a conservative majority. You'd think that at least they'd have an interest in, they didn't want to touch the whole thing, which some argue is proof of the, you know, seriousness of the deep state. Okay, how does this just spin on into infinity, that we continue to believe these things as opposed to just stop and get back to the basics of what we're actually called to do in Christ? Anyway, Michael Brown went on to say, certainly many of us can relate to this kind of faith, having believed God against all odds at other times in our lives. Our friends thought we were crazy. Family members thought we'd lost touch with reality. All the evidence was stacked against us. Just accept the facts, we were told, and you'll get your miracle, or you will not get your miracle. And yet we did get our miracle. God came through. Our faith was vindicated. That's exactly how many of these Christian leaders are feeling right now. They, too, are expecting their miracle. Trump will have four more years, they say. No amount of factual contrary evidence will dissuade them. On the one hand, this could be a great testimony before a watching world if the seemingly impossible happens. This could demonstrate that our faith is not a fantasy and that we're not delusional. What spiritual courage, he writes. On the other hand, when Joe Biden is inaugurated on January 20th, what will happen to our testimony before the watching world? And by the way, he was inaugurated on the 20th. The article, which was written on the 9th, goes on to say, it'll be difficult for people to separate our faith in Jesus from our faith in Trump's reelection. Difficult for the world to distinguish between a written promise in the Bible and something we personally believe God has spoken. In other words, to the non-believer, it'll be difficult to distinguish between the Bible says that whoever believes in the Son will have eternal life versus I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to me that Donald Trump will be reelected. So which one are you going to believe? The article says, the truth be told, it'll be difficult for many Christian believers to distinguish between faith in God's eternal promises and faith in an alleged promise that Trump would serve a second consecutive term. And that's why Michael Brown says, I'm writing this article today, well before January 20th. That's why I'm shouting this simple message from the rooftops, and I shout it as a charismatic leader who believes in contemporary prophecy and prophetic ministry. The Bible, God's word, stands alone. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. What God promises in his word is 100% certain, more fixed than the rising and setting of the sun. You can bet your very life on it. Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he will one day return. As it is written, so it is, and so it will be. I stake my eternal dreams and hopes and destiny on these glorious truths. Let me say amen. I agree. Culture cannot change what is written, Michael Brown says. Circumstances cannot alter eternal divine verities. to quote two great passages of Scripture, first from Isaiah, then from the words of Jesus himself. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Isaiah 40, 7 and 8. Matthew 24, 35 is similar. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He's referring to the written word of God, the Bible, not extra biblical ideas people have about what God might or might not be saying. And that there's a role for prophetic ministry, I agree there is what we're seeing from God? At the moment, I think not. He says, as for alleged prophetic words spoken today, including words that we sense in our hearts or words to which our spirits bear witness, they are subjective. They must be tested. And even if they prove true, they're not equivalent to the Bible. They do not have authority of Scripture, and they do not represent universal truths that are binding on all believers. When it comes to the presidential elections, God never gave me any assurance that Trump would be reelected. Although, as my readers know, I was a Trump voter. He was my preferred choice over Biden. This is Michael Brown saying this. Nor did the Lord ever give me any assurance that the prophets who to a person proclaimed a Trump victory were right. That means that my faith will not be affected in the least with the anticipated inauguration of Joe Biden, although I will certainly be concerned with the direction he's pledged to take our country. The Bible never told me or you that Trump or any other presidential candidate would be elected, and I can give a list of reasons why so many prophetic voices and Christian leaders could have been so wrong in their Trump predictions. We'll certainly address that when the time is right. But my message to a watching world right now is simple. John 3:16 will remain true long after the Trump re-election prophecies are forgotten. Don't confuse what is written in the Word of God with some alleged prophetic words. And so my point in all of this, to summarize, is to say, I believe that all of the focus on, you know, pre-election polls, you know, is Trump up? Is he down? Is he going to win? Is he not? You know, what do you think? What about these prophecies? The election was stolen. Will voter fraud, you know, come to light? Are we going to overturn this thing? Is Sidney Powell, is she going to make a difference proving that the Dominion voting systems were rigged? That's where our hope is, that Sidney Powell is going to save the day. No, Jesus will save the day. Jesus has wanted us to pursue his plan and purpose for our lives since the moment that he called us into relationship with himself. And none of that ever changed. None of that changed, no matter who was elected president, no matter who was inaugurated on the 20th. And it has not changed, and it will not change. That's the calling of a believer, to make disciples, to be faithful in loving God first, loving our neighbor second, sharing the gospel with the lost, preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's where our hope is found, in the reality that God will make good on those promises. This other stuff represents ultimately a distraction. Your thoughts, is it a distraction or not? I'd love to hear from you. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Somebody share your heart on what I'm saying. And by the way, if we've heard from you in the last week, maybe give it a rest. Let somebody else get in on the conversation. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll be back with more of NBL after this from Crosslink Homes. Heart,
Jesus Christ. Scopos with Brent Larson, daily on WDCX.
All right, so let me just say a couple things real quick before we get to these calls. I've been getting emails, text messages from some of our listeners. One, you know, sent a real troubling kind of email about how the world is going to hell in a handbasket. You know, the Bible refers to that in the sense that there's going to come a conclusion to life here on planet Earth. Jesus will be returning at some day in the future. He promised to do that. We're going to see Jesus again, so we have nothing to fear about that. I want to make sure that we get to some of these phone calls, but let me just say, while we will talk about issues in the future, and we may from time to time say, you know, here's Joe Biden's policy, here's what the Republican Party's saying about this, here's what conservatives think, here's what liberals think, and we'll hash through these things, that our hope will never be in any of those things but Jesus, who's calling us to be salt and light in the midst of darkness and despair. And it's got to remain there. So this one article that was sent, I would just say, you know, Larry, I saw your post. I saw what you sent to me. It's troubling. And this is exactly why we need to double down and be about the Father's business, which is about making disciples. All right, let's get to it here. I'll start with Bob. Bob, welcome to NBL. We don't have a ton of time here because I've been so ridiculously long-winded today. I apologize about that, but Your thoughts? Is this all, you know, is this a divine word we've been dealing with, or is this distraction in your mind? What do you think?
How you doing, Neil?
Hey, Bob.
I've been listening at you for the last hour, and I had to call in to make a comment. You know, I've been watching the political scene over the last few years, and it's deteriorated, you know, both on both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what made me understand that our only hope is in Jesus, you know.
Amen.
He's going to be the only one that's going to be able to bring world peace, you know. And that's going to be coming, you know, at some point in time in the future when we have the 1,000-year millennium, if you believe in that, you know. So that's going to be the time that we're going to get it. But beyond that, man's politics and the political back and forth that we see here in America is never going to make it happen. So, you know, I heard what the gentleman, Mike Brown, said. You read his article, mm-hmm. and I'm in complete agreement with that, you know?
Yeah. You know, interesting, I agree with everything you've said except one thing. You talked about, you know, the millennium and whatever's going to happen there. Now, I don't understand all the details of end times prophecy, and by the way, there's 20 competing views. You know, premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever, pre-wrath. There's all kind of positions. We do know one thing. Jesus is coming back. We're going to see him again. He's going to put his feet on planet Earth. He is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and that's our promised home. He wants as many people to be there as possible, and he died and shed his blood to make it happen. But you included the statement, if you believe it. And I'm only saying this tongue-in-cheek, Bob, because I love you. I'm just saying I don't think it matters whether people believe it. That is going to happen. We need to pray that we'd be used by God to help people see the wisdom of what he's saying in his word and why it's important to come to faith in Christ so that they will believe it, right? And you and I believe it. Let's pray that God will use us to help others believe that as well. You in agreement on that?
We're supposed to be his witnesses, and we're supposed to try to bear fruit in our lives so that we can draw people to God so he can be glorified.
Amen.
And that's what it's really all about, you know, because all this political stuff is never going to do anything but divide people.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been seeing for the last few years.
Massive amount of division. And, you know, the justification anyone would use on that is, well, that's right, because truth is right and error is wrong. And so we need to stand for truth, which means we're going to be divided. And Jesus himself is a polarizing figure, if you think about it, because he proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. So for everybody who believes there's many paths that lead to God, they're going to stand in opposition to what Christ is saying. So some of it comes with the territory, but your point is well taken, and I'm in agreement with you, Bob, that there's bigger fish to fry than just worrying about political arguments, that there's a spiritual realm that's as real as what we're experiencing here on planet Earth, and that's ultimately what matters, is how we love and serve each other and serve God in the process. So thank you for your reasonable comments. It's always good to hear from you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, man. Looking forward to hearing from you. That's Bob in Rochester. What a great friend he's become over these last year or two. All right, April, you're next on NBL. April, you've been waiting patiently. So ultimately, is all of this truly, you know, spoken of God, is this divine wisdom being handed down to us, or does it ultimately represent a potential distraction for the church? What do you think?
Well, I've listened to you for so long, and I have had so much on my heart that I've wanted to say in response to everything you said that it's like I don't even know where to begin. I do know back after 9/11, Jonathan Cahn wrote a book, The Harbinger, and in there he predicted way back then that God told him that a president was going to be raised up that will serve two terms representing the collapse of the two towers from 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a lot more since then. I've been listening and following all that's been going on, and I don't know which prophets anybody's talking about. I have watched Flashpoint on the Victory Channel with Hank Kuhnerman and I can't think of his other name, and Kat Kerr, who had brought forth quite a strong prophecy last Thursday that we were not to give up, that God is not working on our man's timetable. And when it comes to the inauguration even, that he was, even if they inaugurated him, that they would kick him out. That what he is working on here is literally bringing all the swamp garbage to the surface, and that man was finished doing all that they had to do in trying to bring this, clear all of the stuff up, that God would perform another Red Sea experience.
Right. I was reading a Red Sea quote prophecy this morning, but let me ask you this, April. Even if all this happens, let's say that everything you're saying comes to pass, and it might. I don't know that it won't. It might, but let's say that it does. Will that make the church more devoted to the call and plan and purpose of God or less? I'm just curious. Because what I see, let me just be honest, what I see is a very complacent church that kind of rests on it, on its laurels. And I'm talking primarily like West versus East. What I mean is Christians in China are being persecuted for their faith. In certain countries of the world, people are in prison right now or being killed for believing in Jesus. Yeah. Here in America, we've got, or in North America, I see you're calling from Toronto, we've got multiple Bibles, TV programs, podcasts, Christian radio shows. We're surrounded by truth, and yet our divorce rate in the church is as high as it is in the world. 40% of pastors, allegedly, I'm quoting the Gallup organization, are addicted to pornography. Our kids are leaving the church in unprecedented numbers, wanting nothing to do with Christianity. So many millennials, Lord willing, they'll come back, but ultimately that's what's happening. These are realities in a very complacent and lukewarm church, and I'm saying, do we need 4 more years of that for revival to happen, or does God have a different plan?
No. First of all, there's been all kinds of prayer all through 2020. I've been part of Zoom groups of leaders from all over North America and the world, that millions of people have been praying, not for the man himself, but the what he represents, that saving a culture of life instead of a culture of death, that Biden's plans is to destroy America. He's in cahoots with China to bring forth communism. Look what's happened ever since the Capitol thing,
right,
where they have tried to shut everybody down and out, that and they're actually calling for camps to reprogram anybody that followed Trump. That's all the beginning of like a whole Nazi regime of trying to control everything, and they want to bring back abortion. God wants to bring a culture of life out of all of this, and turn over the Roe versus Wade and the
whole... But let me explain something, April, and I hear your heart because I share your concerns about abortion. I've been actively involved in Standing for Life since the mid to late 1980s. I've been a believer in the pro-life movement, pro-life cause for years. I got arrested in October of 1988 sitting in front of an abortion clinic in Buffalo, peacefully demonstrating to say that I believe that the baby that's in that woman's womb is about to be killed, so I'll sit here peacefully, quietly in front of this door. I'm not moving. I'm not going to let them open this door. Got arrested for that. I believe deeply in the cause of life. My wife and I support a variety of crisis pregnancy centers, etc. Let me say this. Roe versus Wade makes abortion legal in all 50 states. If it's overturned, it just throws it back to individual states. For instance, New York State, where we have the most liberal abortion law on the planet. While Christians are saying we want to see the overturn of Roe, that just means ultimately that abortion will still be legal in New York State, but it might be illegal in Missouri because individual states would have a chance to decide. So literally, if Roe gets overturned, and I pray that it will be one day, hear my heart, I pray that it will be, but if it does, we still have those laws in New York State, meaning, and by the way, we had abortion that was legal in 1970. Roe didn't get brought into law until 73. So what happens? That means that New York State is still the abortion capital of at least the United States, maybe the world. People will do what's called abortion tourism and come to New York for their abortions right up until the moment of a baby's birth. You can abort a child for any reason now in New York State under the Women's Reproductive Health Act. And if that baby's born alive and happens to be suffering and struggling for its life on the table, and this does happen, we just had Melissa Oden with us the other day. She's an abortion survivor. Happens a couple hundred times a year in the U.S. that somebody survives, and you can look up Abortion Survivors Network. That baby needs to be left to die. Okay, so Donald Trump wasn't going to be able to fix that. We need to fix that within New York State. Here's my point, that since 1970, we've had abortion laws. That's 50 years. Now, what percentage of churches do you think directly are giving to pregnancy care ministries that are helping provide for the needs of a woman so she won't choose abortion? In reality, I'm not asking you to verbally give your answer. What I'm saying is let's wake up and realize that we've had 50 years to give and to serve and to be personally involved. What percentage of Christians do you think are regularly involved in pro-life ministry? I think it's really small. I'm not casting stones, but I'm just saying, I think that we're all about our potluck socials and, you know, chicken pot pie ministries and whatever else goes on. And some of it's needed and it's necessary and it can be good and used by God. But on the issue of life, largely the Catholic Church has been fervently involved in the life issue for all of these years. And if you go to, right down here, just down the block from WDCX, you head down Main Street in Buffalo, you'll pass Buffalo GYN Women's Services, where they've been performing abortions for years. And Catholic people are standing outside holding signs saying abortion kills children and Jesus saves, forgives, and heals. It hasn't been the Protestant church. So largely, thank God for ministries like the Toronto Pregnancy Care Ministry, Atwell Pregnancy Center in Hamilton, Compass Care Ministries here in Buffalo and in Rochester. We just spoke with Jim Harden, the executive director, recently. What I'm saying, April, is we're deluding ourselves into thinking that if we could just keep Trump in office, he'll keep putting conservatives on the Supreme Court who will elect people to overturn, you know, who will appoint people to overturn Roe v. Wade so that abortion can end. Abortion isn't going to end anytime soon.
It's not just abortion.
But that was okay, the reason I brought it up. It was the focus of what you were talking about. Right,
no,
you're right.
That was one of the things. You didn't let me finish, and I've lost my concentration because I had so much to say, but you keep interrupting me. There was just a whole lot more to what is going on that God, it said that God is going to clean the swamp of it. And I believe that it's possible that if God likes, as they put it, a good drama and a good fight, and when man is finished with all, they've done everything that they could do in the situation, just like the Red Sea, where they had the army at their back and no place to go in front, but it looked like they were doomed, that God shows up in such a way that there's no doubt left in anybody's mind. It wasn't man that brought forth the truth to clean up what's going on and to bring it all out, and even the cause of this whole COVID thing. That if the world, the nations are watching what's going on, and they see, because they think America's doomed, it's done, it's dead, that God is using it to answer the prayers of all the people. He said, if my people would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek his face, he would hear their cries and answer them.
Right, but let me stop you. Hang on. You just quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, which doesn't say if people in the swamp will reform their behavior as politicians. It says if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He's talking about believers. I mean, it's an Old Testament verse, but the implication is that if the church would do this, it isn't saying if the headlines could be that Trump actually won, if the headlines could be that COVID is truly a hoax and it's been propagated on the world and it's false, that then people will come to faith in Christ. It says if the people of God, and that's what I'm saying, God speaks to his church.
Revival begins with God's people.
Amen.
And it was through all this past 2020 of all these groups joining together in prayer and repentance for the things that we have not stood up for enough with abortion, et cetera, and all the other things that are going on. That had to happen first. And because God's people did what he said to repent and turn from their wicked ways, that brings revival to the hearts of his people.
Right.
And that the next step would be in the whole miracle thing was an awakening of the rest of the church, because a remnant may be all that brought God's heart to say that he would answer. And I mean, really, if they're left to run the country, they'll shut us up. They'll just shut up anybody that has any faith in God.
April, I'm trying to help you to see, and I'm sorry that we're going to have to move along in a second, because I got Antonio and George to get to, but don't go away. What I want to say is they shut up the church in China. They shut it up in Sudan. People can be killed in places like Iran and other Muslim countries, certain ones.
I know, I get.
Okay, what's happening to the church there? It's thriving. It's thriving. They have oppressive governments, dictatorships in some of these places. Not freedom and democracy. The church is thriving. Do I want that to happen? No. But what I'm saying is, does Donald Trump actually have to get reelected for the church to be the church? I would say that we can stand for Christ right now. We can proclaim the truth right now. We can work to bring light into people's darkness right now. We don't need for anything to happen for us to be able to be the church, because we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have the truth of God's work alive and working in our lives if we'll let it. And God's refinement will begin with the church. It starts with us repenting. Nothing has to happen in the courts or in our legislative system or in the executive branch. Nothing has to happen in government for the church to repent. We can do that right now. So is the church repenting, or are we still waiting for an overturn of an election? And I would suggest that that's where the breakdown comes, that we're being deluded into believing that some of this stuff has to happen for God's will to be accomplished. And I'm saying, no, it doesn't. God's will can be accomplished by any one of us saying yes to God's plan and purpose for our life right here and right now. And April, you've made some really good points, and I appreciate you sharing them with us. I'm sorry that I challenged you on a couple of those things, but that you're helping to make my point, that this isn't about, you know, politicians doing a better job of standing for truth and righteousness or Donald Trump being reelected. It's about followers of God saying yes to God by humbling themselves, praying, seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways so God can move on our land. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. More to come on this edition of NBL. It's brought to you by Dr. Dimitri, Christian chiropractor in Markham, Ontario.
I couldn't see it. So you're thinking to yourself, I got a lot of junk. And Jesus is like, no biggie.
Yeah, God's big enough to be able to handle anything, including, you know, a failed presidential reelection, voter fraud, coronavirus, the abortion issue that we've had for 50 years. I mean, seriously, can somebody just be honest for a minute? Has the church largely embraced the life issue? Are people running to sign up for supportive pregnancy care ministries? God bless all of them, by the way. They're doing an incredible job. Shouldn't we be moved to tears that for 50 years, babies have been aborted in this country, and we want to get behind it financially and in prayer and otherwise? And don't get me wrong, substantial amounts of money and time and effort have been given to these pregnancy care ministries. But if the church was fully embracing this, they wouldn't have to have annual banquets begging for money to be able to keep their doors open while hundreds of people are giving their lives to Christ. I think last year there was a couple hundred at least just through the ministry of Compass Care. Same thing in Toronto. Young women and men in some cases, who've given their lives to Christ because of their connection to those ministries. Thank God for Sunrays Ministry, South Niagara Life Ministry, a variety of others that aren't coming to mind right now. I don't have the whole list in front of me. But by the way, if you want to connect with a pregnancy care ministry near you, just go to our Facebook page. I'm sorry, our website, WDCXradio.com. Click on the picture of the girl looking at a pregnancy test strip, and it has the question, pregnant, ? You click on that, it will directly bring you to a site that outlines all of the pregnancy care ministries that WDCX has been supportive of throughout the years. I've been to banquets and met people that are doing an incredible job all over Western New York and Southern Ontario, and I could have done a lot more over these last 50 years, and I've been very involved. So, you know, my question would be, are we waiting for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, which does nothing, zero, to end abortion in New York State? Zero. It does nothing. Or are we getting personally involved so that God can work in our lives right now? That's my question. Yeah. Elisha House in Welland, that's another one. Haldeman Pregnancy Care Services in Dunville. We've had all these folks on our program over the years. Thank God. Compass Care, by the way, is a major sponsor of the Breakfast Blend, but the Zach Band, so is Toronto Pregnancy Care Center, and they're doing awesome work, both of them. Okay, back to the phones here. I'm not sure who's next. I guess George and then Antonio. You're the last one, so Antonio, hang on, because we're definitely going to get to you. So, George, I'm sorry. I've been super long-winded today. I didn't know how to make my argument more concisely, but I will ask for your favor, your blessing in being short-winded if possible, but I want to give you some time to speak what's on your heart. So what do you think? Is this a divine intervention that we're waiting for, or just a distraction from the things God's already called us to do? What are your thoughts?
Oh, thanks for taking the call and appreciate what you're covering here. In fact, I'm agreeing with you and I'm actually impressed that you shared the verse that's been on my heart for months now, and I think it's coming back to this again. If we really break down 2 Chronicles 7:14 and look at it, if there's prerequisite to prophecies, and I think a lot of the prophets are on the ball, and it's God's will that all men be saved. Are all men saved? No. There are conditions to the promises of God, to salvation. There's conditions to God's fulfilling the Cyrus person he put in. Do obedience. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, right? There's humility, a contrite heart, mm-hmm. and seek my face. And there's not a lot, you know, the most prayer going on ever that's been going up now has been during this time all over the globe, especially in America, right? And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You quoted, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening quietly.
Yeah.
I'm like a little church mouse over here, George. Go ahead.
Oh, bless you. You quoted an amazing amount of statistics of what's going on in the church. You know, we have the State of the Union address, and sometimes we need to do the State of the Body of Christ. The state of the body is not good in all humility. I see this examining myself and all of us, right? You gave a whole bunch of statistics about pastors and about divorce and pornography and all of that. So turn from their wicked ways, then I will. That's a promise. God said, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, mm-hmm. and I will heal their land. So I think that there's been an obstruction, there's been a delay, there has been hindrances, and I think that these people of God that heard, and I believe that they did hear from God, but it's the interpretation of it, the accurately dividing the heart of God sometimes is tricky. The prophets that have spoken, they're on. It's just interpreting. I've been drawing a lot from Lance Wallnick, which is very good. He's very balanced. He's talking about the God's chaos code, talking about God will raise up Cyruses, bring order in the houses of God, the awakening, the occupying the different realms, and, you know, bring an influence in the business realm, the church realm, the political realm, which we can't ignore now. Right? We feel kind of disillusioned. And then God will create, you know, sheep nations and goat nations. That's to come. These things are to come. But right now, God is calling us to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways and be able to see the thing happen. You know, God has shown patterns and blueprints over time. And we've seen kings rise, and you have another king rise side by side. God's blessing is on that person, and God's blessing is not on another person. Now, we need to pray for President Biden with holy hands risen and without wrath or dissension in our hearts and cynicism. There's a lot of crazy TikToks my daughter shows me and says, honey, you know what? I know that's funny, and I know he talks funny, and he said some crazy things. But we are called to pray that God uses him. Even
right.
President Trump gave a very generous letter to Mr. Biden, and he's mentioned it. Who knows what he said to him? But we have to not be divisive. I mean, our warfare should be strong, put on the armor, the violent take it by force. But that's in the realm of prayer. And it starts with rending our hearts
right.
and walking in such holiness where we individually and corporately change the aperture of the church. Pastors are coming undone. And churches, there's a climate. You'll feel it in the spirit realm, in the climate. and the messages, and there'll be a real sobriety. So, yeah, that's what I think has been on my heart, and I think that's what's going on here. What do you think?
Well, I think you've said a lot of really important things that we need to take into account.
Thank you.
Let me just add to that. Does any future thing that happens, like, well, what's going to happen in 2024, or what's going to happen in the midterm elections, 2022? What if all of a sudden it's discovered, mm-hmm. you know, that Joe Biden's been, you know, messing with China, and that he's actually taken bribes from China, and that he was elected fraudulently and stuff? What if? Does any of that prevent us from being a Christian today, right here, right now?
That's excellent. That's excellent, because you know what? Even if we have all the chips on our side, everything, all the things in our, what are we doing with our walk with God? What are we doing in fulfilling our purpose as a church?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Right now, in the present, in the land of the living, right now, what are we doing today? Are we walking holy? Are we walking right? Not to ignore the politics. The bringing the gospel is more than just preaching, doing evangelism. It's doing business, being in the media, being in the arts, on and on and on.
I want to just bring this right down to street level, George, and I got to get to Antonio here too. But let me just say,
yeah, of course.
My wife and I walk in our neighborhood on days when it's, you know, weather cooperates, and we walk sometimes 2 or 4 miles in the morning, whichever route we happen to take. But we've really begun praying for our neighbors, and in the past, right. We've reached out to our neighbors. We've wanted to be a witness. We've invited neighbors to church with us in the past. We haven't been the greatest witness, but we've had a heart for our neighbors. I'm not being self-condemning here. I mean, could we have done a better job? Of course. Have we done nothing? Certainly not. We've done some things to reach out to them. But we've begun to make it a point to pray for them on a regular basis. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying I could have been doing that all along. And we could take seriously the idea that prayer matters, that hearts are changed when God's people pray, that the word of God is like a hammer that breaks rock, and it can break the stoniest heart, turn it into a heart of flesh. These are all promises God gave us in his word that we've like ignored largely. This isn't an all or nothing statement, but how often have we been dissuaded and distracted by these so-called prophecies or big things that are happening in the world? Like, only if we could get Donald Trump reelected, then all of this could happen. No, it can happen right now, because we're the church and we serve an all-powerful God who calls the shots. And so anyway,
we walk by faith, basically.
Exactly. And I'm getting ramped up here, so let me stop. But George, I'm going to move along to Antonio. I really appreciate your thoughts, though. Well said, man.
Bless you. Thank
God bless you. All right. So, Antonio, if you're still there, we're going to get to you right after this commercial break from Henderson Real Estate. Henderson Real Estate, the place to go in the Buffalo area for any of your real estate needs. Dan and Lori are trusted friends. In fact, Dan grew up with Zach Man, just down the street from the Zach Man. This is somebody we've known for years, and they're one of our newest advertising partners. So if you appreciate NBL and you're anywhere near the Buffalo area and you need real estate services, call Henderson Real Estate.
Sometimes feel unloved? The truth is, there's never been a moment that you were not loved by God.
Well, isn't that true? Never been a single solitary moment that we were not loved by God. In fact, before he formed us in our mother's wombs, he knew us. All right, Antonio, been waiting forever, and I'm sorry, Antonio, that it's taken this long to get to you. My bad. Welcome to NBL. Yeah. How are you?
All right, Neil. I have a couple things I just wanted to say. First of all, let me just start off by saying God has already divinely intervened. He did so 2,000 years ago by sending his son, mm-hmm. okay, to propitiate our sins on our behalf and defeated the works of the devil. Our problem is we're like Peter, we're on the water and we're walking, but we become distracted by so many things around us that we take our eyes off Jesus. And so our problem is that our relationship is centered on the things that we're seeing that is currently, which the scripture declares will perish, but we're not setting our hopes on things eternal. Our relationship must be vertical and not things around us. And you know, Neil, this is important about fantasy. I know that you probably watched the Marvel movies. I'm a comic book collector. I studied Greco-Roman myths since the fourth grade. One of the things that I noticed is that we love fantasy. We love sci-fi. We love things that excite us. But at the end of the day, it's not truth. And we have to learn to distinguish between what is real, what is reality, and what is not. And I just want to take people to John chapter 8. I'm not about to preach or say anything deep. But in John, in the Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus is having this conversation about truth. And in verse 32, he says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the Jews responded in 33. They says, "We are Abraham's descendants," they answer. "We have never been slaves to anybody. So how can you say we will be set free?" This is one of the biggest problems, because they are disillusioned like so many of us in the body of Christ. They tell Jesus to his face, "We've never been slaves to anybody," by ignoring the fact that they were 400 years in slavery in Egypt. They ignored the fact about the book of Judges. They forgot about the fact of the 10 tribes being in slavery to Assyria and the southern kingdom being taken by Babylon. They forgot about the fact that the Greeks came in, and then now they're subject to the Romans, and they make a statement like, "We never been slaves to anybody." One of the things that we find out, we become disillusioned by pride, and we have not allowed ourselves to follow what is true. That's why even what you mentioned earlier about people saying that they spoke and the Lord told them this and the Lord told them this. And many of us have no understanding of Deuteronomy 18 about a person pre-exemptuously speaking in the name of the Lord, and things are not being true. God did not reveal any of those things to us, who will be president or who not. Okay, I'm just going to be very honest, and we should take that very serious, because those things are leading people astray, but we know that will happen in the last days. The Bible talks about that, okay? I'm just going to keep it real. But, yes, Neil, we are very distracted by things around us instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we need to distinguish between what is true and what is not. This is not our home. Okay, I'll be honest. I love America. Neil, I'm just going to be honest. I love the freedom that we get to enjoy
here. I do, too.
But this place, you know, with the way we're acting, we're treating it like a Kenny Loggins song. This is it. You know the song by Kenny Loggins, "This Is It."
Come on, okay? Man. Yeah.
America is not it. I love America, but America is not it. This is not our home.
Amen. Amen, man. Preach.
It's temporarily. It's temporarily, Neil. And we're focusing on those things that are going to perish. Okay? At some point, God is going to come back and glory. He's going to destroy this world, and all of the cares and concern that we find ourselves so hung up with is going to be gone. And what will remain is that which is in Christ Jesus. And I may be passionate right now, but that's our problem, because we're concerned about this. Or if we don't get this person in, this will happen. Or if we don't get this person in, the reality is we're not centered on truth. If we read the oracle of God's word, we know that God is in control, that God set up kings and demote kings, that everything is happening according to the sovereign plan of God. Whether we like it or not, God is victorious.
Man.
Period.
Brother, I just have laid back to let you go, because you are preaching. You're preaching the word of God. You're preaching truth from God's word, and that's exactly what the Lord has said. And you're 100% right about distractions. We're so prone to falling prey to distraction, and I think it's happened again in this electoral thing. And by the way, you know, I didn't say much about this earlier, Antonio. We're going to have to move along quickly, but let me just say this. 100 years ago, the church pulled out. More than 100 years ago, the church pulled out of culture in a way. Like, I went to Boston University. It was founded by Methodists. I don't remember the year, but it was a long time ago, well over 100 years ago. Boston University is the furthest thing from any kind of a theological school at this point. It's completely off the rails. You know, the vast majority of the professors, and maybe even the students that attend, not all of them certainly, but the vast majority has an incredible liberal, humanistic bent. God has no room at Boston University now. A lot of schools were founded the same way, Princeton, Harvard, and others. We pulled out of education. We became separatists. We got into the holiness movement. We were going to hunker down in the four walls of the church and purify ourselves and be holy and righteous within the four walls of the church. Well, we began to realize eventually that culture was going to hell in a handbasket and we needed to reengage. So we thought, well, maybe what we'll do is get involved politically. And, you know, we'll be able to change culture by engaging it politically. And that was sort of the founding of the moral majority in the 1970s. Now, I'm not saying, hear me out, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a role to play in education or culture or in our communities or in politics. I think the church needs to have a role wherever we are, because Jesus said, wherever you go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples. So I think that we're to make a difference everywhere. But at some point, it changed from just let's have an influence on culture to let's really hope that we can make the difference through politics and culture. And I think that we got off the rails at that point and began putting our hope and trust in the Republican Party and candidates like Donald Trump and other people. Or, you know, maybe you're of a different political persuasion. I'm talking about the listener in general, and that somehow or another you put your hope and trust in liberal politics and the Democratic Party and all that stuff. That has nothing to do with God's plan and purpose for us. Ultimately, our perspective, our focus has to be what God has already revealed in his son Jesus over 2,000 years ago. And you made that point so powerfully at the beginning of your phone call. So, Antonio, I'm with you 100%, brother. I was loving the sermon you were preaching, whether you knew it or not. And, man, I want to hear from you again. So don't leave me hanging here, because I'm going to have to answer all these emails by myself, and I'd love to forward at least half of them to you. And no, I'm kidding. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Powerful word from Antonio in Buffalo. Wow, am I glad he hung on the line. George, thank you. April, Bob, and all of you. I wish we could have gotten to more phone calls, but we are out of time. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more of NBL here in just a moment. Today's program brought to you by Christian realtor Steve Dubay.